Thank you, Hank. Thank you, Blair. And it's nice to see you again. I hope the message goes as good as the song tonight. So, and it's a joy to be with you. Somebody asked me about how I'm feeling. I'm feeling pretty good. And it was a bit of a shock at the beginning. I was singing 1 minute and moaning the next. And it happens that quick, and I was up painting that my daughter had done some work on their deck and changed the deck around, and then I was painting it. They were away. I was trying to finish it, and I had the stepladder packed, you know, it's an uneven ground. And anyhow, I was up singing and whistling and all that stuff and painting, and I had about 3-4 strokes to go, and I knew I was getting to the end of the line, and I felt the ladder slipping, and I said, well, I'll get down and fix it. No, I'll just finish this little bit off. And all of a sudden, I'd gone. So my intuition told me to get off the ladder and fix the thing, you know. So I ended up with a split lip. They glued my lip. My wife said they should have glued your lips. And I hurt my hip. And Dorothy says, it's not your hips the problem, it's your lip. And then some wise guy said to me the other day, he said, John, I heard you become a Latter-day Saint. So anyhow, you get all of these these jokers, as it were. And they're all from PEI, by the way. So it's good to be with you tonight again. If you have your Bible, we're going to look at a number of things. I'm hoping that I haven't done this before. I said that to Dr. Bellier. He said, don't worry about it. We've got short memories here. So anyhow, I hope this will be of some help to you. I worked with Jewish people, and they were some regalia. And I'm always inquisitive. I always ask questions. My dad and mom said, John, always ask questions. And then you'll get some answers. So this is what you call a tefillin. Can you say it? Tefillin. And we call it in the Bible, our Bible, phylacteries. They call it tefillin. It comes from the word prayer. And anyhow, they don this every morning. They don it every evening. When the morning, when you wake up and when thou lowest down, you'll remember all the words the Lord thy God hath given to thee. Because it's written in here what he gave them. These passages of scripture that I'm just quoting there is in the scriptures in here. And you notice that's on the mind, that's on the head. Remember the mind. And then over here, do you mind if I take my coat off? All of you have got yours off. I may as well take mine off. And anyhow, though we don't don this, there's lessons in this thing for us. And I want to try and draw that out and show you some things from it. Hopefully, you'll understand it a little bit better when you see a man at the Wailing Wall with his prayer shawl on and his phylacteries on. Where did he get these from and so forth? And we want to see that. So they put this on here. And this box faces the heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jesus, by the way, quoted that. He says, on this hangs all the law. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, therefore, they put it on here, and it takes me a while doing this, but I'll do it quickly. They wrap it around their arm 7 times. I would have had this done, but Don Crozer was talking to me, and when he talks, you can't get him stopped. So anyhow, I had to just do it up here for you. And wrap it around the wedding finger. They wrap it around again. And they wrap it around again 3 times. And anyhow, we'll get to that when we come to it. But for now, we want to talk about God's name. Don, usually I do this with my own PowerPoint and my own timing, so Don's going to try and work with me, and that's going to be a real miracle. But anyhow, when we study God, we have three primary names in the Bible that we have of God. You have Jehovah, and you have, go ahead, Don, Elohim, and then you have Adonai. Now, I don't want to go into the names. There's a lot in the names. And that's not what I'm trying to go for in those particular names. But I want to get to a name, anyhow. The other idea from the three primary names in your Bible flows out what they call compound names. For instance, Don, for instance, when you have the word Jehovah, then you have compound names. I don't know if you can see this or not, but anyhow. Jehovah what? In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Yireh. The J is pronounced as a Y. Jehovah Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. Genesis 22. And then you have another compound name of God, Jehovah Shammah. Last chapter in Ezekiel, in the millennial kingdom period, the temple being built, the Ezekiel temple being built, and there you'll have the words, the name of God, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And that's where that title comes in. And then a third one here, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, the Lord is our righteousness. Aren't you glad he's here, your righteousness? And it's his righteousness we stand, amen? Now, let's go on. There's more compound names. And then you have the compound names of Elohim. From that you get El Elyon, the Most High God. Especially in the book of Daniel. If you go through it, that's what it speaks of, the Most High God. And then the next one, El Olam, the Everlasting God. And then we have the one I want to get to, El what? Shaddai. We often sing that song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, which means the Almighty God. When our guide was in Israel, He pointed out to us, looking at the southern end of the temple area, and he pointed out three valleys. So here's a picture of New Testament Jerusalem. This is the Kidron Valley. Right down here is what they call the Triponian Valley. Go ahead, Don, and the next one. And this one here is the Gehinnom Valley. So you've got three valleys, and then they're all joined at the southern end of the temple area of Jerusalem. So put that one in too, Don, and the dot. They're joined together, and that forms the Hebrew letter Sheen. Can you say Sheen? Sheen. So here you have this letter here in regards to Jerusalem. It's a lovely thing he was pointing out to us. And then the dot up here, Don, the dot comes in here. Can you get the dot in? No, I don't want the blank. I want a dot. And go back again. Can you go back? This is the problem. I have to do it myself, and it's hard for him. Don't blame him. It's hard. Anyhow, there's a dot over that. Believe me. And that forms the letter Shin. And our guide was saying to us this. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We'll get there, Don. It's all right. 2 Chronicles 6. Let me read this verse for you. Verse 6. Second Corinthians 6, Chronicles 6, verse 6. Notice what God said. But I have chosen where? Jerusalem that my name might be what? Might be there. God chose Jerusalem to put his name there. The letter Shin is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters. Each letter has a numerical value. I don't want to go into all the values at the minute, but we will. Each letter has a value in Hebrew. And so therefore, this letter Shin, he's saying here, as we looked over Jerusalem, he said, John, God has symbolically put his name for us to see in the three valleys. He's put his name in Jerusalem. My dear friend, that's a wonderful thing when you see that. Because why? Because in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The whole planet is his. And yet, out of all the countries, out of all the continents, out of all the cities, of all the world, he chose one little place to put his name. Amen? And where did he put it? Jerusalem. He didn't put it in New York. He didn't put it in London. He didn't put it in Paris. He didn't put it in Ottawa. He never even put it in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Or Dublin, matter of fact. But he put it here. Why? That's the place where God chose. That's the place where God chose to have the temple. That's the place where God chose to have the priesthood. That's the place where God chose to have the offerings. That's the place where all the Israelites were to come at a certain age. They were to come down three times a year to Jerusalem to remember the Lord in the festivals. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. That's where Mary and Joseph were when they brought Jesus down and he got away from them as they were going back home and they were down to remember the Passover and celebrate it. And when they didn't find him, they had to go all the way back. They were there in a command of God. They were there worshiping. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. By the way, that's the place where Jesus died. That's the place where the Holy Spirit came. That's the place where the church was born. This is a powerful place. And my friend, it's going to play a big part in the future. When all the nations are gathered about Jerusalem. And so therefore, this is a very significant place. You see, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here's a lovely verse here. Jerusalem is in Israel. And Israel's called the land. Haaretz, the land. Haaretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. Don't you notice I'm learning Hebrew? I want to learn it so I can speak to the people in Israel. Anyhow, Deuteronomy 11, verse 12. Watch this verse. It's a land which the Lord thy God, what? Careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always, what? Upon it. From the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Jerusalem means so much to God. By the way, the name means Jerusalem, the city of Shalom. Jerusalem, from the word shalom, which means the city of peace. It even hasn't known peace. But do you know what? One day it will, when the Prince of Peace comes. Amen? That's the city. And that's the city God has chosen. Now, the Tefillin. The Tefillin. Can you say it? Tefillin. All right? This is a yarmulke. Can you say yarmulke? It's not a Yamaha. That's a motorbike. Yarmulke. The Jewish people put it on when they go into the synagogue. They'll put it on in the morning. They'll put it on in the evening. And as they go and say the Shema prayer, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one. And here they are. They don this, and they put the tefillin on and this on. So I'm not going to keep that on. It's too warm. You'll see it goes on the head and it goes on the arm, and then they bind it 7 times around the hand, so forth. And they do that according to God's commandment. Notice with me Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you have your Bible. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, and then we want to read verse 4. Hear, O Israel. That word in Hebrew here means Shema. This is what they call the Shema prayer. By the way, it's in here written. It's written by a scribe and a little piece of parchment. This whole passage here, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, it's in here. It's in one of the compartments. That's put in there. That's something they had to remember. All the commandments of God. Do you know what the next one in here is? The Passover. And God says you gotta keep it from generation to generation among your people. Why do they have Passover today? Because God told them to do it, to remember that the Lord thy God had brought you out of the land of Egypt. They were never to forget it. And it's in here in their mind, remember. And it keeps going on. There's other things in here as well, but it's all in their mind here and in their heart. These passages come down in here as well, so it's upon their mind and upon their heart. Now let's go on a little bit on this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And it's one thing to have these all on. They still had to have it in their mind and they still had to have them in their heart. These things are no good if you're not going to put the things into practice. Friend, wearing a cross on your lapel is no good if you're not going to live the Christian life. They don't mean anything. These won't mean anything if their heart and mind's not right and with God. No wonder God had to chastise the people because of the breaking of his commandments of Old Testament days. Sometimes he told them, your festivals are obnoxious to me, according to Isaiah. So it's in the keeping of the spirit of these things that's important. But they do put them on, according to this passage of Scripture. And then it says this, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a what? A sign upon your what? There it is. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon your hand. And then he goes on to say this, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. Here they are here. And then you'll find this in every Jewish home and in every synagogue, and even going into the gates of Jerusalem, you'll find a mezuzah on the wall on the right-hand side. And that's from this verse here. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. And that's why they do it. From these passages of Scripture. That's called a mezuzah that goes on the gate and on your door. The word mezuzah means in Hebrew, doorpost. You shall write them upon the posts of your house and upon your door. What do you call it? Mezuzah. Can you say it? Mezuzah, tefillin. Can you say it? Tefillin. Can you say yarmulke? Good. You're now learning a little bit. Amen. Now here's a lovely thing. Here's a lovely thing. If you come up and you look at the box, you know what you're going to find? You'll find this. Don, you see the box here? Go ahead. You'll find that that letter is written here, right here. Shin. Shin. Now, if you look back here, you can't see it very well, but if you come up and look at mine up here, it's like in the shape of a letter 7. And here it is. There. That's Dalet. So you got Shin, Dalet. And then here, you can't see it either there, but if you come up and look at me, the next one, Don. Go ahead. You see here, there's another one in here. And there it is here. That's the yod. That's what Jesus was talking about, but not one jot nor tittle. This is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the little tittle was the little marks that come off a word to distinguish one letter from another. Sometimes Hebrew letters look the same. And so therefore you had to distinguish them when these little tittles. And then the jot was the comma, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet called the yod. The yod. Let's put them together, Don. Let's go. So you got shin, dalet, yod. What does it spell in Hebrew? Shaddai. Shaddai. You see, God not only put his name on his holy city, God has put his name on his people, Israel. It's right here. And every time they put it on, they remember God's name, the Almighty God, Shaddai. Okay? You say, John, you're stretching it. Okay. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Look at this passage here, this verse. Numbers chapter 6. Sorry, I'm a little bit slow up here. Verse 24. Now, you often quote this. This is what the Jewish people call, can you say it with me? Berakot Kohanim. Berakot Kohanim. Can you say it? Berakot Kohanim. Berakot means a blessing. Berakot Kohanim is from the word Kohen, and the Kohen is the Hebrew word for priest. So it's the priestly blessing. Berakot Kohanim, the priestly blessing. This is the blessing that the priest prayed over the children of Israel on the Day of Atonement. Why? Look at it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 22, speak unto Aaron, unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my what? My name where? Upon the children of Israel. And here it is, right here. I'm showing it to you. The name of Shaddai, the name of God, is upon his children too. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He's put it upon his holy city, and he's put it upon. And when the priest, when the high priest prays that blessing, that's the shape he puts his hands in, the shape of the letter Shin, which is the first letter of the name Shaddai. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Why seven? Why not six? Why not five? By the way, the perfect number is what? Seven. Who gave you your Bible? I know God gave it to you, but who did he give it to you through? The Jewish people. Seven is a significant number in Judaism. Let me show you why. Go to Genesis chapter 1. What time you finish? 7:30? Or 7:45? Is Jerry here? Jerry told me to finish early. Right, Jerry? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you just got the time there, take and count how many words there are in that verse. You got it? Can somebody shout it out, Carson? How many words are in that verse? Ten. there's 10 words in English, in your English Bible. Do you know how many there is in the Hebrew Bible? 7. Now let me tell you something else about that. Not only is there 7 words right at the very start of the Bible, the perfect number. Not only have you got that, these 7 words have 28 letters. And 28 letters, if you multiply 4 by what? 7, you get 28. Again, the number 7 is so significant. Here's another thing I picked up. By the way, I picked this all up from a rabbi. Not from our commentators, from a rabbi in Israel. Did he ever open my eyes to some things? And not only that, it says that in that verse, there's 3 nouns. The nouns are God, heaven, and earth. And when you put those names in the Hebrew letters, and then you give the numerical values to the Hebrew letters, those 3 names add up to 777. Right in the very first verse. And when you go to Exodus chapter 20, when God met Moses to give him the Torah or the law, and guess what he gave them? One of the commands. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. See, 7's very significant to the Jew. That's the day he worships. You and I worship today. Sunday on the Lord's day. In the synagogue which I go to, and I find out things because I'm always asking them questions. I'm sure I drive them crazy, but that's okay. You build bridges that way. And in the synagogue, I kind of ask questions. And in the synagogue, as you go down on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday I usually go down in, and you have, guess how many readers coming up to read the Torah? 7. They call it Aliyot. And when you come up singularly, they call it Aliyah. And the word Aliyah means, it can also mean going up to Jerusalem or going back to Jerusalem. Aliyah, back to the land. And it can also mean coming up to the podium or coming up to the rostrum, and you're going to read from the Torah to the congregation. And there's 7 readers. Let's go on. When you turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 22, guess how many festivals there is? Many? 6? 5? 4? 7. The first 4 have been fulfilled, and they all picture for us the first coming of Jesus. The last 3 have yet to be filled, and they picture the second coming of Jesus. 7. Absolutely brilliant, this. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, you know it very well, and you don't have to turn to it. But in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And it's 10 words in your English Bible, but it's 7 in the Hebrew Bible. And I nearly fell off and broke my hip again. And when the Jewish boy, your age, has to go into the army to defend his country, some of them are only 17, 18, 19. And I've met them and put my arms around them and told them, I'm praying for you, son. And I'm praying for your people and I'm praying for your land. And my dear friend, listen, I love you to hear you say that to them. And when they go up to this Masada, which means they'll never happen again, that's why they're confronting Iran. And they might have to hit them. They're saying it's never going to happen again. Not when we're in our own land. We'll let it happen. And anyhow, those young boys are given a Bible and they go up and take an oath of allegiance and they shout it right out from the Masada. You were there, you shout it right out and it echoes all the way down the Judean wilderness. And they cry out, never again. And you know what verse they give them? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. I hope the nation takes it to heart, because it'll be the God of Israel that will help them. Amen. 7 letters. Sir Don. See what it says at the bottom? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in English. Look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in Hebrew. Do you know what's above it? That's Zechariah chapter 4, 2 to 3. That's what they incorporate into the symbol of Israel. And that's the menorah. And on either side, you have an olive branch. Now look at it. Why doesn't the menorah have six leaves instead of five, seven? They've got seven. Why seven? Let's go on. How long are you married? Who married you? Who did the... Who? Job. Did you bless them? When the rabbi blesses a couple, do you know how many blessings Jackie puts on? Seven blessings. And not only that, when they're married, the bride circles the groom. Do you know how many times she circles him? Seven times under the huppah. And not only that, you know how long they have their celebration for? How did you have one day or something? A few hours? 7 days. How would you like to have a celebration like that? 7 days. Then when death comes to the house, and by the way, it comes to us all. It's no respecter of persons. We nearly lost our grandchild last year because his tongue swelled so much. We just got him to the hospital in time and got him medication. We nearly lost him. He's only 10. He can come to us at any time. And when a person, a Jewish person, especially a close relative, dies, they set what they call Sheva. And Sheva in Hebrew means seven. And they set 7 days of mourning. And then when Israel came into the land, Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you have your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 6. And when they came into the land of Israel, God said to the people, it'll be a land flowing with milk and honey. What a land. Flowing with milk and honey. What type of things would be in the land? What type of species would be in the land? Do you know how many species there was that God gave them? Seven. Let me give it to you. Verse 7 of chapter 8. Verse 6 of chapter 8. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee unto a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths and springs, and out of the valleys and hills. A land of what? Wheat, number one. A land of barley, number two. And vines, number three. Figs, number four. Pomegranates, number five. Olive oil, number six. And honey, number seven. The seven species that the Jewish people call of the land of Israel. It's all connected to them, and it's all connected to them and the Word of God, and it's all connected to them and their history and life and death and marriage. My friend, God's written all over the Jew. Was Joseph a Jew? Do you remember he interpreted a dream? What did he interpret? Seven cows in the dream, didn't he? And seven stalks of grain. And he talked about the famine of the land, and then he talked about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. Do you know how many plagues are in Israel? There was 10. Do you know how much each plague lasted? 7 days. Do you know how many nations attacked Israel when they came into the land? And they came in at the central end, round about Jericho, they came across in. 7 nations. Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and the Girgashites. 7 nations. And you know what? on the day of Yom Kippur, when the high priest goes behind the curtain and he goes into the Holy of Holies and he stands before the holy ark, which is where the angels were, and on the ark was the mercy seat. And he would go in and he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Do you know how many times he would do it? 7 times. When they went in to take the land and Joshua was leading them, guess how many times they walked around the walls? And guess how many judgments are in the book of Revelation? And John's a Jew, by the way. There's 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. Seven seals and 7 trumpets and 7 bowls. Number 7. It's all over the place. 7 virgins. My friend, it's all there. How many times have my brother sinned against me and I should forgive him? Come on, tell me. 70 times 7. And we still don't forgive. God forbid us to forgive someone and walk to him. It would hurt our pride. Why the 3 down here? Why the 3 in the wedding ring? Well, let's turn to the Bible again. Hosea. Daniel, Hosea. That's how you get it quickly. Now, Hank, did you drink out of this water? Up here. It doesn't look too healthy. I think you did. Hosea chapter 2. If you mark your Bible, there's one word you need to mark. And by the way, there's 3 I wills of God here. 3 I wills of God. But there's one word they're connected to. Chapter 2 and verse 19. I will what? Betroth thee unto me for how long? That's why I don't believe replacement theology. The church is not Israel, and Israel's not the church. Because God here is telling us, I will betroth them unto me for how long? Forever. Unless God breaks his word. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. And I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord. Thank God there's coming a day when that will be a reality for Israel. Did you notice the word betrothed? How many times? 3 times. I am betrothed unto you. I am betrothed unto you. I am betrothed unto you. And it's right here. Do you know what God's sending them? Israel, you're my wife. You're my wife. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 62. The clock is stuck at the back, so you'll have to depend on my watch. Isaiah chapter 62. My friends, it drove me crazy. Why do they wear these things? I'm going to find out why. And I'm glad I did. Isaiah 62, verse 4b. And also 5a. Notice these words, please. These are Hebrew words. Watch them. Verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed what? Forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, Do you know what Hephzibah means? My delight is in her. It's in the margin if you have a marginal Bible. My delight is in her, Hephzibah. And then it says, and thy land is called what? Beulah. We often sing Beulah land, speaking of heaven. It's not speaking of heaven. It's speaking of the land of Israel. It can be a picture of heaven by application, but it's speaking of the land of Israel. And when you have the land of Israel, and you have that, it's God's delight, and the word Beulah in the margin means married. And my friend, when you have the people who's betrothed to him, and when you have a land that's called married, they come together because the people and the land go together, and God is married to both. He's married to the land, and he's married to the people of the land. They're both God's delight. They will be eventually, when they enter in to the complete full relationship with God. Let me go back to this word Shaddai, and I'll close with that. I won't be able to get onto the prayer shawl. It's too much in it. I was wanting to talk about the fringes. I'll do it next time. The word Shaddai. In that word Shaddai, you have a singular noun. And the word is Shad. Shad from Shaddai. And that singular noun Shad, when it's translated from the Hebrew, do you know what it means? Here's what it means. It means, this is proper, folks, please. It means the breast. Now let's follow it through. It means the breasted one, or the breast. And the word is often used in Scripture, and here's what it implies. Keep in mind the breast. He's talking about a mother with her child. And here's what it means. It means and implies sustenance. It implies strength. It implies sufficiency. It implies satisfaction. And the idea, of course, is that of a mother's breast through which she transmits sustenance and strength and satisfaction to her baby. And when the hungry child is dissatisfied and the baby is fretful, but when it receives the nourishment from its mother, it becomes satisfied and eventually it is quieted and restful. And the mother feeds her child. Not only does the mother feed her child, it was the mother who gave birth to the child in the first place. And not only did she give birth to it and give it life, she sustains it at her breath. That's a beautiful picture. Wonderful picture of God. Just like a mother with her child. And by the way, I was in Harry's home, Harry and Face, with four Jewish people from Tel Aviv the other week. And I'm not going to go into all the story. We had 2 hours with them. They were only supposed to stay for 10. Anyhow, he told them I was a preacher. And I think they were on their tiptoes. They were kind of wondering what was going to take place. Were people going to preach at them? We didn't preach at all at them. They had a lovely cup of tea and nice time of friendship. And then during the conversation, Harry Amir said to me, he said, John, but we don't believe in God. Remember? We don't believe in God. And not only that, you know what he said? He says, we really are concerned about our land, but we don't believe in God. I says, Amir, do you mind if I said something? Do you mind if I say something in answer to that? He says, John, go ahead. Harry was there. He'll tell you. And I said, you know what, Amir? You concerned about your land? There wouldn't be any land if there was no God. There would not only be no land if there's no God, there would be no Israel if there's no God. You see, God gave them life. Let me show you it. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Friend, there was a time when there was no Israel. There was time when there was no people of Israel. So they had to come in somewhere upon planet Earth. Look at this verse. What did I say? Genesis? Sorry, I meant Exodus. Can I take these things off? They're driving me nuts. Hold on a minute. These things drive me crazy. And anyhow, Genesis 17. I'm at the wrong chapter. Sorry, folks. Right, notice verse 1. I taught at Bible school, and I taught hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and skill of interpretation. And one of the principles of the art and skill of interpretation, yet all these different principles, typology principle, full mention principle, first mention principle, they're all there in hermeneutics. And when you come to the name of God Shaddai, you have to go to the first mention principle, when it was first mentioned. Let me show you when it was first mentioned. Genesis 17 and verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am who, guys? And who's that? El Shaddai. And what is he going to tell him? He's going to tell him his wife is going to have a baby. And from that baby would come the nation. But there's a problem, a big problem. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 11. What did you call Abram's wife? Sarai. And guess what, guys? Look at chapter 11, verse 30. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And what's God going to do? The one who can give life, El Shaddai, can bring this womb that is dead, and he can give life. It's 90 years old, and he's going to give life. No wonder she laughed. No wonder he laughed. You see, Shaddai is the one who gives life. It was Shaddai who brought the nation into being. There wouldn't be any nation without God. That's what I'm hoping to tell the man when I see him in Israel again. He wants to meet us, by the way, in Tel Aviv. All four of them. It's all set up. I've already emailed them, and they're all set up. They're coming. Pray for me, because this is what I'm going to show him from his own Bible. It was God who gave the nation life in the first place. And by the way, there was a time when there was no church. And guess who brought the church in? I will build my church. And thank God, he gave his life. It's an organism with a head and a body through the power of the Spirit of God. He gave us life, folks. But not only did he give his life, he gave us his own life. It's eternal. Hallelujah. What a blessing that is. And so the mother gives life, but the mother also sustains that life. And my friend, Israel should have been off the face of the map long ago if it hadn't been for God. He has kept her. He sustained her. He has strengthened her. The breasted one. We often get the analogy in the Bible. Look at Genesis 49, please. Sorry, let me take it to Isaiah 44, and I'm finished. We've gone long enough. By the way, the nation that will be married to Jehovah is not a disobedient people eventually. It's going to be the remnant who believe.
That's the all Israel of chapter 11 of Romans. They will enter into the covenants of God. And God will be their God. And he will say, now these are my people. Genesis 44. And I just want to back up on that one on God giving life to Israel. Look at verse 1. Chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, you are mine. Look at verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him, said Jehovah. Look at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Look at verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praises. God created the nation, and God will keep the nation, and God will preserve the nation, and he'll preserve them to himself like Elijah said. He said, I'm the only one left, and God says, oh no, I've kept 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. They were a remnant. Thank God there's going to be a remnant who believes. And she will be the one who's God's delight, and she will be the one who's married to him. And it'll all come because they also have to trust the Mashiach, the Messiah, who'll come out of Zion and deliver them when all seems lost. Now, Genesis, Isaiah 49. Back to that little picture. And my dear friend, listen, I know it's talking about Israel, but I want you to apply this to yourself too. Watch this verse. And then we'll close. Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath what? Comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Now notice what he says. Can a woman forget her what? Her suckling child, the mother's breast. Can a mother forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet I will not forget thee. Aren't you glad he won't forget you either? He'll not forget Israel, and he'll not forget you. He's Shaddai, the one who gives life and the one who sustains life all the way to the end of the journey. You can be encouraged tonight for such a God. Shaddai, the mighty God. Can he do it? Yes. He's the mighty God. Amen. Now, we didn't get into the Talit. That's another little story. And we'll do that the next time. By the way, you and I don't have to put this on. Why? You and I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our garment. We need nothing else. Amen? You see, and through the Spirit of God, we have the fruit of the Spirit. And when we're in Christ and we're clothed with Christ and the Spirit of God begins to work the fruit of the Spirit in us so that we can live the Christian life and walk in holiness, and without such there is no law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. We put on the Lord Jesus. So we don't have to don any of this stuff. And then Paul says in Philippians, and because of that, he will keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the spirit of it. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the word. We've tried to be honest with it and just tried to share what we've learned by studying a little bit about the people. As a missionary, we need to know the people and they need to know why they do the things they do. And Father, I pray that through it we might have open doors of opportunity to share the Lord Jesus with them. We pray for this forthcoming meeting with them in Tel Aviv. We pray you'll give me wisdom and know how to break into the conversation and then be able to open the book to them concerning their God. So, Lord, I pray you'll give us help from above. And dear Lord, tonight we thank thee that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And therefore, our theology should all was rebound to doxology. And how often Paul and John just opened up and burst into a thanksgiving of praise. And so, Lord, in the conclusion of our service, we want to give praise and thanksgiving to thee for all you've done for us and because you're Shaddai, the Almighty God, the one who gives life and the one who sustains that life and satisfies us. Shall we stand as we sing? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Adore.